Today we plan to go through Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. So today's passage is all about faith. What faith is, what it looks like. The entire chapter constitutes what's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. In all of Scripture, it's the Hall of Fame. It's the pinnacle of this book. It highlights the faith of the greats of the past, including Noah, including Abraham and Sarah, including Isaac and Jacob and Moses, including the judges, the kings, the prophets, all of the greats of the faith. Today we're going to focus in on the faith of the ancients that were prior to Abraham and Sarah. So background for this passage, for the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, the author has been exhorting his readers to continue to believe in Jesus. He's writing to a Jewish audience, and these are Jews who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And yet they're being tempted to go back to sort of the Old Testament framework, the Old Testament law, and see that as the focal point. And he's saying, don't turn your back on Jesus. Don't go back to the old covenant, the old agreement between God and people. Don't turn your backs on Christ. Continue on in faith. And that brings us to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see example after example of genuine faith. And that encourages us to stand strong in faith. In today's passage, we'll be focusing in on the faith of the ancients prior to Abraham and Sarah. And we'll be highlighting six insights regarding faith. And the whole deal is, may God strengthen our faith as we go through this. May it be a good thing. So please stand. We're going to pray, ask God for understanding, and then we'll read through these seven verses, and then we'll sit and just take it in as we go through it verse by verse. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read, and I pray that you'd give us wonderful understanding. Your scriptures say that we can't understand the things of God apart from the Spirit of God. So Spirit, we ask you to give us understanding, Lord, to help us to glean, to help us to apply. And Lord, all these truths, Lord, we want to live them out by your grace, by your enablement in our lives. We know we can't do this in our own strength. We can't even walk out the Christian walk in our own strength. We need your grace in our lives, your enablement, the desire and power to do your will. And so we pray, Father, for you to give us a special time in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, and feel free to remain standing or sit if you prefer. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Please be seated. Powerful stuff. We'll be going through it. Six insights specifically that we'll be looking to highlight. So faith insight number one, by faith we are confident. By faith we are confident. Verse one, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance. It's the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the realization of things hoped for. It's the reality of things hoped for. It's being sure of things hoped for. It's also the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. It's the proof of things unseen. It's the conviction of their reality. I don't see them, but they're real. By faith, we're confident of the things we hope for. Not necessarily the things we want or that we even wish for, but we're confident in the promises of God. The things he's promised in Scripture, we can be confident that he will do his part. And we're confident in the unfolding of the promises of God, the unfolding of his plan. And we're confident in the character of God, in who he is. How can we believe in something we cannot see? It's often asked. Well, try air. We cannot see it, but we believe it exists. Doesn't it exist? Try gravity. We can't see it, but we believe it exists, and we experience it all the time. So when the going gets tough, we can believe that God still exists. When the going gets tough, we can believe that God is all loving, that no matter what is going on, he is still loving. When the going gets tough, we can believe that God is all powerful. He's in charge of everything. He's not the author of evil, but he even uses evil situations and somehow works it for good for those who love him. And when the going gets tough, we can believe that God can use our hardships for good and for his glory. No matter what we're going through, he can use them for good and for his glory. That's what faith is all about. Believing God's promises, believing in the unfolding of his promises, believing in his character. So faith insight number one, by faith we are confident. Faith insight number two, by faith we bear fruit. Verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So by faith, the elders, the ancients, the men of old, the people of old, obtained a good testimony, a good report. They were commended for their faith. They were commended ultimately by God for their faith. If a person has faith in God and faith in God's promises and God's character, that person will be a dynamo. That person will be strong. That person will bear fruit, lasting fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? Fruit that lasts. Amen. We don't want to have a life that's here today and gone tomorrow. And at the end of our life, we have an epitaph. He was really a very fast runner. Or he was great at video games. Or he could read very fast. Or he got straight A's. Those are all fine. But we want to be remembered for bearing fruit. For loving God and being used by him to do things that we can't do ourselves, we can only do via his enablement in our lives. We want to be used for something better, greater, and that sets the tone for sort of the other side of eternity. It's something that lasts. If a person has no faith in God or very weak faith coupled with severe doubts about God's promises and God's character, that person will not obtain a good testimony, a good report. In other words, they won't be bringing God the glory that they could, and they won't be showing it in their lives. It'll hamper them. He or she will not shine, will not impact this world for Christ, will not bear fruit that lasts. Very important that we believe God and we believe his promises. God desires that we bear fruit as we purpose to be faithful in small things, the things he's given us to do, maybe in our family, on the job, or in our neighborhoods, or the different spheres of life that we're in. As we're faithful in these small things, God has a way of opening up the door for bigger things. He has a way of saying, okay, that small thing that you've been doing, that's setting the stage for the next chapter, and I'm going to have you do something eye-opening, and it's going to be really special. So faith insight number two, by faith we bear fruit. Now, the rest of this chapter is dedicated to those who've gone before us. In other words, the rest of Hebrews 11, all those who've gone before us, starting with the Ancient of Ancients, and those who've demonstrated faith in God and faith in his promises, faith in his character. So that's insight number two. Insight number three, by faith we understand. By faith we understand, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So by faith we understand, we have understanding. Faith is key as far as understanding. We understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages, were framed, it says here in verse 3. They were fashioned. They were put in order. There is a purpose for the things that were created. They were equipped for their intended purpose. How were they framed? By the word of God. God spoke this world into existence. So how could he speak the world into existence? I don't know, but he did it. He did it. He spoke it into existence. Thus, the things which are seen were not made by things which were seen. In other words, the seen world, the world we see, the visible world, was actually made by the unseen world. And the unseen world is much more real than we think. As far as we're growing up, it's like, oh, I wonder if there's anything behind the scenes. Yes, there's a whole battle going on behind the scenes. And God does exist. And Jesus has risen. We cannot see a fertilized egg by our human eye, but it's real and it's creative. How much more real is our unseen God and the power of God's word? And when he brings someone to faith in him, that person gets regenerated on the inside. And in some ways, it's like a sperm and an egg. There's a life that takes place. He causes us to become born again, and we become alive spiritually. And that's an amazing thing. It's a work of the Spirit. Our part is just to say, I'm open to it. I want it. And I'm willing to turn from my sins and my self-centered life. Lord Jesus, I want you to be in the center. Forgive me for trying to be the center of the show and trying to be in the middle. Lord, help me to revolve around you. So the whole idea of words, in other words, God spoke this world into existence. The words of people are powerful. You ever know of a parent who says, kid, you'll never amount to anything? Those are powerful words. Those are very nasty words. Or other parents who say, you are so special. I love you so much. God is going to use you in a special way. And speaking words of life and words that give hope and words that build up. So the words of people are powerful. How much more powerful are the words of God? How much more powerful? God's word spoke this place into existence. It takes faith to understand this and to understand the reality of our unseen God. People may mock, they may scoff, they may belittle. They can't embrace the reality of God because they have no faith. If someone has no faith, they just can't grasp this. Their problem is not an intellectual problem. There's a lot of very smart people who they're convinced that God doesn't exist or that there's no way of knowing. It's a spiritual problem. It's not an intellectual problem. We need to be open to God solving our spiritual problem. So they lack faith, and a person needs faith to actually enter into this whole thing. Faith opens the door to the understanding of mysteries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, it says, the Spirit searches all things. That's the Holy Spirit. Even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God the Father. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So the Spirit, he's regenerated us, our spirits come alive, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and he knows the thoughts of God, and he gives us understanding. And we need him to give us understanding. Faith opens the door to the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding. May God give our loved ones who have yet to believe. Maybe we have loved ones who we love dearly, and yet they haven't come to faith in Christ. May God give them genuine faith. It's a gift, something they exercise, but it's a gift really from God. May they be open to believing, to receiving, and to understanding. To understanding this whole thing. We don't understand everything. That's part of the Christian life. We're invited to know more and to understand more, to dig into Scripture and say, Lord, teach me. I want to learn more. I want to learn more. But he gives us the understanding we need at any given time. So faith insight number three, by faith, we understand. Insight number four, by faith, we offer. By faith, we offer. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So by faith, we offer things to God. By faith, Abel, that was Adam and Eve's second son. Second son. Cain was the first son, Adam and Eve's second son, Abel, offered a sacrifice to God in Genesis chapter 4. And it was seen as a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain's. Cain did not like that. Abel, who was a shepherd, offered the firstborn of his flock, the best of his flock. Cain, who was a farmer, offered the fruit of the ground. And the wording is like some of the fruit of the ground. Cain's offering was rejected by God. It was seen as lacking. Is it because it lacked blood? Blood typically covered sin. In other words, blood of animals would be shed in place of the blood of humans as a covering for sin. That's how the Old Testament sacrificial system took place. Now, Jesus, of course, was the ultimate Lamb of God. He was the ultimate fulfillment of the Jewish law from the Old Testament. He was the fulfillment, so no longer do we need animal sacrifices. So blood typically covered sin. Well, possibly it was because it lacked blood as far as Cain's offering. But some offerings, such as a grain offering, do not require blood. So it's a little bit unclear. Or was the problem that he gave some of his crops, possibly withholding the best of his crops? God requires the best. He wants the best. He wants every part of us, but specifically the best, that which we love the most. He wants us to give that to him. He takes very good care of the things that are given over to him. So, and that's very possible that that was the problem. But we don't know for sure. It's not actually stated. But we do know for sure that Cain's offering lacked faith. It lacked faith. His attitude was clearly bad, and that bad attitude was showing that there was a lack of faith. After God rejected his offering, instead of seeking God and say, what did I do wrong? He became angry. And when someone becomes angry because something they did wasn't good enough or they didn't like the results, you can bet there's something bad going on in the heart of that person. In fact, Cain became so angry that he ignored God's warning. He said, sin is crouching at your door. Be careful. And he killed his brother Abel. He took it out on his brother. His offering was good, mine wasn't. I'm going to kill him. Cain most definitely lacked faith, whereas Abel had faith. Abel's sacrifice was acceptable, it was pleasing, and he was declared righteous. Abel's faith continues to speak out. He says, through it, at the end of verse 4, he being dead, Abel being dead, still speaks. So through his faith, he still speaks. When we offer things to God in genuine faith, we too continue to speak. We impact eternity. By faith, we offer our hearts to God, trusting God in the process. By faith, we offer our kids to God, trusting God to protect them, to direct them, to use them for his glory. By faith, we offer our achievements to God, all of our achievements, trusting God to use them for his glory. We did a great thing, not for our own glory, but for, Lord, for your glory. By faith, we offer our service to God, trusting God to touch people's lives through us. We do what God has wanted us to do, and we just minister to people without looking for a specific response. Like, it doesn't have to be a certain way. We just want to plant seeds. We want to be a blessing. By faith, we offer our giving to God, trusting God to supply. If we have a hard time giving, you might want to look into the faith issue. Maybe there's a faith issue going on. It's hard to give if we don't really trust that God will supply. I better hold on to everything I've got because I can't give. And say, interesting. God has given us a generosity in this flock that's amazing. And I love it because we're conduits of the blessings of God. And it's wonderful to be a conduit of the blessings of God, blessing many people. So also by faith, we offer our love to God and to people who are made in the reflection or the image of God, trusting that it's worth the risk. Some people say, I'll never love again. It's like, that's a terrible statement to make. It's a terrible statement. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you need to be healed by God. But to say, I will never love again, it's like, don't speak those kinds of words. So loving God and loving people, made in the image of God, we're going to trust that it's worth the risk. And then by faith, we offer God's word to people, trusting that it will not return void. When we share Christ with someone, we're going to trust that it not return void, that it'll bear fruit at the right time. Maybe now, maybe later, maybe after the person goes through a crisis, or maybe something that person heard, that person will respond or say to someone else. And maybe that's how it will not return void. So by faith, we offer all these things to God, trusting in him. Paul says in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So let's be those who offer every aspect of our lives to God, knowing that the things we offer are acts of worship. Worship is not just Sunday mornings with singing. Worship is throughout the week with yielding and surrendering to God. And this kind of faith continues to speak just as Abel's offering continued to speak, thus impacting eternity. A good football player leaves everything on the field, everything, offering himself completely. We too are to leave everything on the field of life. Our life is very short. Let's leave everything on the field of life, offering ourselves completely to God to be used by him, because we don't know how long we have. It's like, Lord, use my short life for your glory. So faith insight number 4, by faith we offer. Faith insight number 5, there are 6 in all. Faith insight number 5, by faith we please God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch is in Genesis chapter 5, and he pleased God. It says he was taken away. He was caught up into heaven by God. He was bypassing death, according to this passage. Thus, he was not found. He was in a much better place. God said, you are pleasing me, and I just want you to come up here and be with me. God had taken him. So before he was taken, before he was gathered, he had this testimony, according to verse 5. He testified with his life that he pleased God. That was his life message. He pleased God. Now that's what I want on my epitaph. Something like that. He pleased God. Or he walked with God. He loved God. He loved God and he loved people. Anything like that. Anything like that's fine. That's what I want. What an amazing life message. Enoch's gathering can be seen as a foreshadowing of other gatherings in Scripture. The prophet Elijah, in 2 Kings chapter 2, he was taken up into heaven via a whirlwind. The risen Christ, in Acts chapter 1, after his resurrection, not too long after that, he was gathered up. In other words, he ascended to heaven. The ascent in Acts chapter 1. The church, that's all believers, all genuine believers throughout the world. The church in 1 Thessalonians 4 will be gathered. All believers will be gathered to be with the Lord. All believers are going to be taken up, caught up. The term is raptured. It's based on the Latin Vulgate. Enoch is our role model. By faith, he pleased God and he was taken up. May we please God in every area of our lives, purposing to do that, and be ready at any time to be taken up. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know. But let's be ready. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith must be present in order to please God. It takes faith to believe that God exists. It takes faith to believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards with open access. We can come before him at any time for the mercy we need and the grace we need, comfort. We have open access. He rewards us specifically with grace, unmerited favor, the desire to do God's will, the power to do God's will. He rewards us with mercy, forgiveness, restoration. When we mess up, Lord, I'm coming in to that wonderful place with you, and I'm confessing my sins. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. Help me to say no to this area that's just so, it's dogging me. And I want to say no to it so I can bring you more glory. He rewards us with wisdom. He gives us wisdom for life's decisions. It's hard to know what to do sometimes. He rewards with everything we need. All the things we need, he rewards us. Our part is to diligently seek him, to earnestly search him out. Earnestly. Even when we're confused, to earnestly search him out. Even when we've messed up, to earnestly and diligently seek him out. Even when we're facing hardship, earnestly and diligently seek him out. Even when we've had success, that's sometimes the most dangerous time. Let's earnestly and diligently seek him out. Enoch had that kind of faith. He pleased God. A couple related passages in Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we seek first the kingdom of God. We seek first right standing and righteous living. And he takes care of giving us all the basic other things. So easy to concentrate on what do I wear and what do I eat and all that. And these are important things, necessary things. But let's seek first the kingdom of God. He takes care of the other things. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So we ask and keep asking, and God will grant us. The things that are bringing God glory or that will bring God glory, he will give us those things. If we're asking for something that doesn't bring him glory, he may say, you could ask all you want, but you're beating your head against a wall. But we ask, and if it's according to his will, according to the things that bring him glory, he loves to give us the things we ask for. So faith insight number 5, by faith we please God. And then the last insight number 6, by faith we prepare. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So by faith Noah built the ark. Remember Noah and the ark? He built the ark. He took action. He prepared, even though it made little sense. He was warned of coming judgment. The world had become a very wicked place, and judgment was coming. The rains were coming. It hadn't rained up to that point. And so he was warned of coming judgment, and he built the ark, and he heeded the warning. This action saved his household, his wife, and kids, the spouses, they were able to be saved. It served as a testimony against the unbelief of the day. As a result, Noah became heir of the righteousness, it says here in verse 7. Heir of the righteousness. He became the possessor of right standing by faith. He entered into the lineage of the faithful. A person of faith heeds the warnings of God. by taking appropriate action and by preparing accordingly. The original readers are being warned, the folks receiving this letter, they're being called to action. Don't go back to the Jewish law as your focal point. Don't give up on Jesus. No one could fulfill the Jewish law. He expressed the holiness of God, but no one could measure up by their own good works. That's the whole deal. Don't give up on Jesus. He's the one who died in your place. Don't set that aside. Don't fall away from that. So there's a stiff, stiff warning to keep the readers on track. God warns us in various ways. He warns us sometimes through Scripture. Sometimes I can read something and it's like, that's something I need to heed. Or he warns us through prayer, our prayer time. There's a sense of, I don't like what you're thinking about doing. It's like, okay. Or he warns us through loved ones who care about us so much and they say, hey, you know, I got a funny feeling about this business arrangement, or I got a funny feeling about this friendship that you're cultivating. I got a funny feeling about it. And sometimes God really uses those people to protect us. And God warns us also at times through circumstances, at times. We can't put all our money on circumstances, but at times he does warn us in that way. Let's take heed and let's take appropriate action when he is warning us. Just as Noah prepared, we too are called to demonstrate faith by preparing, lest we invite danger. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12, the author says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." So the prudent, they see danger, there's some kind of danger, there's some kind of warning, and they take action. They say, I'm not going to allow myself to get in the middle of this damaging situation, so I'm going to take refuge. But the simple, they just keep going and they suffer for it. So let's be those who are prudent, not simple. Now, an athlete who refuses to prepare for the big event will likely face defeat. Preparation is needed. A single who refuses to prepare for marriage may face unnecessary challenges. A homeowner who refuses to prepare for the safety of the home may be vulnerable to extra danger that can take place. Let's be those who prepare, who take appropriate action as a demonstration of our faith. Despite opposition, despite scoffing, despite the desires of our flesh, let's do the things that God wants us to do, where he's warning us, stay away from this or do this proactively. And we will be much better off for it. So that's faith insight number 6, by faith we prepare. And then personal application. We looked at 6 different insights. By faith we're confident. Are you convinced that the unseen truths of Scripture are real? Do you believe that God exists even when discouraged, even when you're confused, even when you're successful? Do you believe that he exists? Are you walking by faith and not by sight? So by faith, we are confident. So we ask various questions based on what we saw in this passage. And then we looked at by faith, we bear fruit. Are you obtaining a good testimony, a good report in the eyes of God? He wants to bear fruit through your life. Are you impacting others for Christ? Are you open to making a bigger impact as you're faithful in small things? Maybe there's some small things that God wants you to do faithfully, and he'll open up the door for some bigger things. And then by faith, we understand. So are you open to the Spirit who can unlock all mysteries? We need him to help us. We need the Spirit to give us understanding. So are you open to the Spirit? And then by faith, we offer. Are you offering yourself to God? Are you giving him your best, the best part of you, the best part of each area of your life? Are you giving them to God? Are you leaving everything on the field? Leave it all on the field. And then by faith, we please God. Are you giving thought in your life as to what pleases God, what displeases him and what pleases him? Are you diligently seeking God, diving into his word, praying, asking for counsel, seeking, And he loves to be found. He loves to respond and give us the things we're asking when we're asking for something that really is good for us and brings God glory. If we're not diligently seeking him, why not? Are we too busy? Are we too apathetic? Are we too distracted by other things? Or are we just unwilling to do the will of God? It's like, I don't want to do the things he wants me to do. I don't want to give him my life. He may have me be a missionary in Timbuktu. It's like, maybe, maybe not. But he knows what he's doing. Trust him. That's what faith is all about. Trust him, and he will take you and use you in ways that you never thought possible, in a good way. He'll be used in his hand. We're a workmanship and a work of art. So let's diligently seek him. And then do you believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him? Even when you feel unworthy, he still rewards those who diligently seek him. And then like Enoch, are you getting ready to be taken up, to be gathered? Are you ready? If God says, okay, it's time to bring this whole drama to a sudden conclusion, are you ready for that? Am I ready for that? And it's like, boy, I need to be ready. It's like, oh, I want Michigan to win a title first. And it's like, I would love to see that happen. That'd be great. But being gathered up to be with the Lord is so much better. So much better. And then by faith we prepare. That was the last item. Are you open to God's warning signals? Is there any warning that God is giving you at this time? A warning to stay away from this. These friends are no good for you. Or this business venture is a stupid idea. Or your desire for this sin of the flesh, that's not a good idea. Not a good idea. Is there any warning that God is giving you? If so, are you taking appropriate action? Are you preparing, just as Noah prepared? And lastly, along the lines of preparing, are you helping others prepare for danger? Are you helping others prepare for judgment that'll come upon this world? And we so much, we need Christ. That's the only way out. That's the only way to make it through. It's like, sin will be judged. All of our sins will be judged. But for the believer, they've been judged on the cross. So we're all in the middle of a torrential downpour, but Jesus is our umbrella. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't want to get wet, spiritually wet. You've protected me, and now I can serve you. I'm free to serve you. I'm not free to just do my own thing. I'm now free to serve you with everything I've got inside of me. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage. And Lord, help us to grow in faith. Help us to trust in you. Help us to diligently seek you. Help us to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us to stay away from things that aren't pleasing to you. Lord, for anyone who's listening to this teaching, who has yet to come to a point of faith in you, I pray that you would birth faith in their hearts and that they could be receiving you, believing in you, obeying you, and experiencing you. The wonderful restoration that only you can give. We thank you for all these things, and thank you for this time in your word, this rich time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.